The Garden by Francis Rosenfeld. Chapter 2. The Garden of Scorn. Rat. 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 Disgusting vermin. Screams and yells thundered from all around, while Simmy's new pet ran erratically for its life, not knowing where to hide from the sudden torment. The entire village was at the ready, wielding stones, sticks and brooms to annihilate the menace, which eventually managed to make it to the thistle field and get lost from sight. "What's going on?" Simmy asked Rahima, faking ignorance, not very convincingly, because she had watched the whole scene and prayed quietly that her new friend would make it to safety before one of those sticks and stones got him. "Oh, nothing," her friend shuddered with loathing. "It was just a disgusting rat." "Vile creatures. Why do you hate them?" Simmy asked, trying to look like she didn't care. "Do you even have to ask? They eat everything, the filthy vermin, and they carry disease, too. You don't believe me, but they do. They'd eat the flesh off your bones if you'd let them. What a despicable pest." "You mean they eat the thistle cakes?" Simmy insisted. "I mean they eat our homes, and our beds, and our food. They'd eat rocks if they could chew them, and they multiply 2, 10 and 12 at a time. When they get into the fields, there is nothing left behind them. They are more destructive than a brush fire. If you see one, destroy it immediately," Rahima urged. "Information which would have served me well yesterday, before I brought that helpless creature here to face certain death," she thought, peeved at her friend for not being willing to answer a simple question and offended by the disdain she was showing towards a creature which, in her opinion, was harmless. She turned around to leave and bumped into Josepha, who was still huffing and puffing after the rat chase. "As I live and breathe, you get rid of a rat and find yourself another. Did a previous engagement prevent you, Your Majesty, from joining us in our efforts to rid the village of vermin?" "Answer, louse."
I was still, Simmy mumbled, trying to buy herself time in order to find an appropriate excuse.
"Let me guess, you were working on one of those stupid contraptions of yours," Josepha said, and now Simmy really wanted to know what kind of contraption she'd been working on, and she didn't have to wait long, because Josepha's comment provided her with the answer.
"I decided to save you the time you're wasting on them, so I cleared out the lot," she pointed out to the trash heap at the edge of the village, now eerily bedazzled by the work of Simmy's hands.
"That should feed a cozy fire easily. At least I can find a use for your wasteful idiocy." Simmy looked at the strange objects, which she was seeing for the first time, and was heartened by the craftsmanship and the level of detail that the other, her, the one she knew nothing about, had dedicated to her passion. It was very hard to tell what purpose those strange objects, no two the same, could serve, and she had to assume there wasn't any, and that those objects were made just to be looked at. "Did he spend all this time just on making something beautiful?" Simmy asked herself, amazed. She looked around at the dreary surroundings that were so familiar to her, and concluded the other, her, must have wished for a place to escape ugliness, just like she dreamed of her wonderful garden, and had the gift and the audacity to bring it to reality. She was shocked and humbled, but not sad at the destruction of the artifacts, which, frankly, she didn't have sufficient time to get attached to, and this made Josepha even angrier.
"At least if you cared at all, I'd understand," she feigned empathy, to gain herself the support of the villagers, who had started gathering around to enjoy the impromptu show.
"You don't even care about these things you're wasting my time on. You are only doing this to be spiteful. Maybe that's not such a bad use of my time, I should do it more often," Simmy thought, suddenly outraged that Josepha took it for granted that even Simmy's life was not something she could call her own. Those things were wonderful, and the fact that they served no purpose made them very compelling, in a way Simmy found difficult to put into words. She couldn't take her mind off of them, suddenly saddened that in a short while they will be no more. She wondered if her current persona was still able to craft something this beautiful, and promised herself to try the first chance she got. Of course, given her recent experience, there was no guarantee that she wasn't going to wake up the following morning in a place where those wonderful objects never existed, but she knew she would keep the memory of them, and thus she could make them again, and again,
even more beautiful than before. This was the second time Simmy realized she had something of value, something only she could do, and nobody else, something that Josepha didn't have a prayer acquiring or destroying. She had been given a gift. She wondered who had bestowed these blessings upon her, the grace of finding sustenance, the ability to reveal beauty even in the darkest surroundings, and she didn't find an answer to that question, but now she knew what beauty was, that it didn't belong to anybody, that it didn't have any purpose other than itself, and that it was everywhere, if only one knew how to look for it, without a doubt. Josepha was getting ready to delve into another blathering diatribe, when she was rudely interrupted by Bertha, who marched furiously to the center of the gathering. "Do you know what I found in this louse's bed? Rat hair. There was a rat in her bed and she didn't even notice. How filthy of a being one must be, to not notice a rat crawling all over her." A few members of the audience gagged and grimaced with disgust. "We can't allow her to sleep in the house, to bring all of her sloth and disease with her. Enough is enough." Several people nodded in agreement, eager not to be on Bertha's wrong side. God only knew that once the latter's mouth was unleashed, there was no end to her petty gossip. "You heard her, girl. Go. Go spend your time in the field, with your lot, much like your vermin friends, you don't deserve a home. Thank you for the campfire, though. We'll think of you when we warm ourselves around its embers." Simmy exchanged a quick look with Rahima, whose eyes were filled with tears, but who looked down, quickly, terrified she will have to share her friend's fate. She then looked at Bertha, to figure out if the latter really meant her threat, and it was evident that she was expected to go. "Well," she thought, "there is one silver lining to this situation. At least nobody is going to hurt me there." She turned around and walked towards the edge of the village, slowly at first, and then gaining speed, as if something out there in the field of purple flowers was waiting for her and calling out to her. When she ventured into the thicket of thistles, she worried that she would be scratched mercilessly, because it was already pitch black and she couldn't see anything, but the plant world, to which she seemed to have been exiled, didn't want to cause her any more pain. She found a bed of flattened plants, large enough for a person to lie down, curled up into a ball on top of it, noted that it was slightly more comfortable than the lumpy mattress, which was made of basically the same material, and she fell asleep. When she woke up the next morning, she felt something move against her belly. It was her little friend, the rat. It would have been difficult for her to tell whether it was the same rat. They all looked more or less the same, but she had to assume that it was, and that the rat recognized her, since it wasn't afraid. Her first reaction was to jump to her feet, as she remembered the disgust and the shame, and the stigma attached to somebody willing to sink so low that rats were allowed to roam undisturbed around one's person, but then she saw the furry creature, shivering in the chill of the morning, stare at her with its beady eyes, oblivious to the disrepute. It looked so innocent and at ease, here in its own environment, that it made Simmy giggle. "I bet your kin isn't going to chase me out of the field with sticks and stones and try to kill me," Simmy said out loud, not caring that talking to oneself in the middle of nowhere was a sure sign of insanity. Maybe gifts and madness did go hand in hand. She reviewed the late circumstances of her life and reached the conclusion that if they were the logical outcome of her sanity, sanity was the first thing that had to go. She continued her conversation with the rat. "Nice place you got here." The rat's snout quivered, stirring a weird dance of its whiskers in the process, and Simmy had this sudden feeling that it was hungry. She stretched up her hand, careful not to scratch herself, picked a large seed head and shared it with the rat until they were both full.